many times you hear this said, well, we're just old sinners saved by grace.
No.
We were old sinners. We got saved by grace and we became the righteousness of God in Christ. Now let me ask you something. What does an old sinner do? He sins. He just does what he does best. He's a sinner and he can't quit. He's addicted to it. So when people confess, well, I'm just an old sinner saved by grace, they're saying, in essence, I'm going back into sin. It is the wrong confession.
That's Charles Capps. He's one of the granddaddies, one of the old men of the Word of Faith movement, sometimes called the Name It and Claim It movement, or the Prosperity Gospel movement. He's actually one of the few guys around who will still put it that plainly, that what you say is what you are. So if you say you're a sinner, then you make yourself a sinner. That's how the Word of Faith movement kind of works. It's confess your way out of your problems. Well, we're going to be talking about televangelist Charles Capps, and he's decided that he's unraveled one of the great mysteries of the Christian faith, the incarnation itself, and the conception of Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary. We'll be talking about that here in the first half hour of Issues, Etc. Bob Lico is our guest. And then, after our conversation with Bob, Dr. James Lamb will join us to talk about two issues, the handiwork of God. It's a rather large subject, but it covers much of what the Christian is. And we'll also talk about Life Sunday that's coming up here. A lot of churches will be observing that. We'll review a sermon on the baptism of Jesus preached by Pastor Bill Swirl of Holy Trinity Lutheran Church in Hacienda Heights, California. And then at 5 o'clock, our good friend Dr. Uwe Simonetta will join us here in Studio A. We'll talk about the Bach revival in Japan. People who, it's not their native music in any way whatsoever, and it's a long ways away in time and geography, but Bach is sometimes called the fifth evangelist. We'll find out why when we talk with Uwe Simonetta at 5:30. We'll talk about heaven. Pastor David Peterson will join us, author of an article in the latest issue of Higher Things magazine titled Friends in Heaven. Our call-in numbers as we come to you live this Tuesday, the 15th of January, 1-800-730-2727, 505-7850, and our in-studio email address is issuesetc@kfuo.org. You want to mark your calendars because coming up Saturday, the 26th of January at 7 o'clock, KFUO is going to hold its AM850 KFUO Grand Champion Trivia Night. It's going to be held at the Lutheran Senior Services at Laclede Groves. That's 723 South Laclede Station, Webster Groves, Missouri. It's Saturday night, January the 26th at 7 o'clock. The doors open at 6, $15 a person, but we're hoping that tables of 8 to 10 people will be signing up for the Grand Champion Trivia Night. For more information, to make reservations, call 314-505-7874, 314-505-7874. Bob Lico is our guest. He joins us to talk about the televangelist Charles Capps and his amazing unraveling of the mystery of the Incarnation. Bob is a former Word Faith pastor and co-founder of Discernment Ministry International. Bob, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
Thank you, Pastor Tom.
Is this typical of the Word of Faith belief to try to explain heretofore unexplained things, to, by new revelation, go beyond what Scripture says, and to essentially take the focus from Christ and put it on the believer, in this case from Jesus, and putting it on Mary and the exercise of her faith?
Yeah, it's very typical of many of their teachings. In fact, I was chuckling to myself as I was listening to your speak about the next guest and what's going to go on the rest of the broadcast. And you mentioned, of course, the baptism of Jesus, and this being Epiphany, the season of Epiphany. I was just thinking back about the Word of Faith teaching, and we got a lot of teaching on his baptism, which, of course, was just Jesus as a man, a human being, going into the water to be baptized by John, and at that time, the Holy Spirit descends upon him, and we know he goes into the wilderness and is tempted by Satan and defeats Satan by speaking the Word, and then when he appears and preaches his first sermon, what does he say? He says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." So the Word of Faith doctrine of Christ was basically that Jesus ministered only as a man, just like you and I, but he was a man anointed by the Holy Spirit. And so it's kind of an interesting twist on the normal Orthodox teaching we hear about Jesus and his baptism.
What does Charles Capps claim to be able to do by way of explanation of what to this point had been a mystery to all Christians, one that's confessed and believed but nonetheless unexplained, and that is how it is that God can, through the Holy Spirit, conceive his Son in the womb of the Virgin
Mary?
Well,
without going into the text itself, everyone's familiar with it. We certainly went through it during Advent and Christmas. The Luke account of Jesus' birth and the Annunciation. What Charles Capps says is simply this, and I'm going to quote directly from his book, one of his best-selling books called Authority. And this is what he says. He says, it was an act of the God kind of faith that Mary exercised, causing the miraculous conception. It was the word of God in her heart. Then she went to Elizabeth's house and told her, he hath done great things, Luke 1:49. How did she know? Because the angel of the Lord had told her, and she received that word. She had conceived the word of God in her spirit. And here's what the Spirit of God said to me about this situation. So this is the Holy Spirit talking directly to Charles Capps, and he's got it in italics and quotations. Mary conceived the word sent to her by the angel, God's word, and conceived it in the womb of her spirit. It manifested itself in her physical body. She received and conceived the word of God in her spirit. Authority, page 76 through 80. So that's how it happened. It's really no mystery to the Word of Faith followers. They simply listen to Mr. Capps and they go, wow, that's what happened. The angel came, he spoke God's word to her. She said, amen, I agree with you, I believe it. It got into her spirit, and because it was in her spirit, not just in her mind, it got down into her heart that then what God had spoken in his word was actually conceived in her physical body, in this case, the person of Jesus.
Okay, so it sounds as though Charles Capps is trying to explain the mystery of the Incarnation in the same way that the Word of Faith movement explains how everything works in the universe, this spiritual law by which God, all God can really do is just kind of make a promise, but until we exercise the God kind of faith, nothing becomes real.
Absolutely. What we see from Capps's little statement is that really, it wasn't a miracle, and it really wasn't even so much the Holy Spirit. It was Mary. Mary is the main focal point of the narrative in this case. It's Mary who does the believing. It's Mary who does the conceiving. God is just, like you say, the one that simply put the word out there, put the promise out there in the hopes that Mary would indeed believe it, because Capps goes on to say that had Mary not believed it, in fact, I'll quote him, Cap says, if Mary had said, forget it, it won't work, God would have had to find another woman. So we see again, Mary is the one who's in control and not God. And for the Word of Faith believer, you're right, the entire universe, I mean, everything that happens in their lives revolves around their use or their belief that they are exercising the same type of faith that they allege God used when he created the universe, and when he created us in his image and likeness, we were given the same ability to create reality around us and change reality by the power of our faith-filled words. And, of course, you've got the convert of that as well. We create the bad things around us by confessing and believing fear-filled words. So you've got the kind of yin and yang, or positive and negative. You've got faith-filled words, good, negative, bad words, evil. Both will create, because it's a spiritual law that's kind of neutral, and it'll work for anyone, not just a Christian. Copeland, everybody's very plain about this. This is a spiritual law that will work for anyone who puts it into effect.
It's just kind of the mechanism of the universe, and even,
right. Even
God doesn't control it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so this is why when we were listening to that little piece from Charles Capps at the very beginning, he said, you may not have heard it all, but he said, if someone says, I am a sinner saved by grace, they're really confessing, since they're saying they're a sinner, that they're going back to their old sinful ways.
Right, absolutely. They, if you were to ask Charles Capps, Mr. Capps, are you a sinner? He would laugh at you. And so would Kenneth Copeland and Joyce Meyer and any of the Word of Faith teachers. They would say, no, I used to be a sinner, but now I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. And, you know, I may miss it every now and then. I'm not perfect. I'm not claiming to be perfect, but I'm not a sinner. I'm no longer, you've got two camps of people, basically, in the world. You have sinners, and then you've got God's righteous children. And there's no gray area. There's no concept of being saved and yet still a sinner, or being justified and yet still having to deal with the old Adam, the sinful nature. They believe that that is done away with, and that we are become, or have become, literally, the very righteousness of God, not in a forensic sense or an imputed sense, but we have, you know, just like Mary received that word and conceived it in her spirit, you receive that you are indeed righteous, and it conceives and brings forth a righteous being, a righteous person, righteous living in the individual's life.
So is it too much to conclude? Let's just say something as simple as the forgiveness of sins. Is it too much to conclude that for the Word of Faith teachers and those who follow them, you're really only forgiven or saved or an heir of eternal life if you continue to confess that? If you ever mistakenly or intentionally confess something otherwise, you lose it.
Well, they would. It kind of depends, Todd, because there are some in the Word of Faith movement who come from a Baptist background, let's say, and they have a view of salvation where they would see the believer as eternally secure in Christ. You know, once saved, always saved. You're not going to lose it, period. But then you have other people who are more of the idea that, no, you can lose your salvation, and certainly your confession would have something to do with that, because wrong confession is going to lead to wrong belief, and wrong belief is going to lead on to wrong actions. And if those go far enough, you can find yourself outside of the protective grace of God and in the enemy's camp once again, which is why in many charismatic Pentecostal services you'll have an altar call for people to, get born again, to rededicate themselves to Christ again, because they've lost what they had due to their, often bad words, which led to a bad lifestyle in their thinking.
What is this concept, and you address it in your article, too, on the Charles Capps alleged revelation from the Holy Spirit. What is this concept of kind of ongoing special revelation that people continue to get new words being added all the time, and how important is it to the Word Faith movement?
Oh, it's very important because, again, it ties back into their belief that you and I, well, maybe not you and I, but Charles Capps and Copeland and others, they're just like Jesus. They are anointed with the same Holy Spirit, and it's the Holy Spirit who wrote the Bible, who it inspired men to write. He's the ultimate author of Scripture, and since we have the author of Scripture within us, it's not an alien thought to say, he's still speaking today. God is still speaking. He's still breathing life into the Scriptures, and so they take an idea that there's an ongoing revelation. In other words, what the Scripture meant to Paul, it can mean something totally different to us today because God is on the move. History is progressing. Things are being restored to the church that we've lost. And so if I'm a person who is in tune with the Holy Spirit, listening to His voice, then I'm going to hear Him speak and I'm going to receive new revelations and insights, which the Word of Faith cult, I would call it, says they certainly have been receiving, because they're teaching things that have never been taught by the church, by any branch of the church, for approximately 2,000 years. In fact, a little more of Brother Capps' revelation, if you will, and this is again from the Holy Spirit. He says, "My word will get people healed and filled with the Holy Ghost the same way that the miraculous conception took place. Any believer can conceive my word concerning healing in their spirits, and healing will manifest in their physical bodies. They can conceive my word concerning prosperity of finances, and prosperity will manifest in their business affairs. If they will conceive my word concerning the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it will manifest in their spirits. Well, if this is true, Todd, and the Word of Faith message has been taught globally now, unfortunately, for well over 30 years, why aren't we seeing just tremendous evidences of healing? Why aren't the members that follow the Word of Faith doctrines phenomenally wealthy? They should be the wealthiest people, the healthiest people, the smartest people that are within the visible church. But they're not. They're just like you and me, just average folk.
We're talking with Bob Leeko, former Word Faith pastor, co-founder of Discernment Ministry International. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Live this Tuesday, the 15th of January. We're talking about televangelist Charles Capps and his alleged revelation on the Incarnation. Our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org, or call-in numbers, 1-800-730-2727 or 505-7850. In about 10 minutes, we'll discuss Life Sunday with Dr. James Lamb. You use the term, and I think it came from Capps himself, and it's often used by the Word of Faith teachers, God kind of faith. What's behind that term?
Well, they believe that when God created the universe, he exercised the spiritual force, the force of faith, that he released from his spirit, however you would define where the Spirit of God is, apart from the Holy Spirit, but he released this power through his word. And we see that, and they would take you to Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, you know, God said, let there be light. And so when he said that, he was releasing enough faith in those words to bring to pass what he said. The only problem with this type of a belief is that the reality of the matter is, Todd, that